Welcome to the Penis Project podcast, connecting men through science, stories, solutions, but most of all, through support. This podcast was founded by myself and Dr. Joe Milios, a physiotherapist. To find out more about us, check out our website, thepenisproject.org. I'm Melissa Hadley-Barrett, sexologist and nurse practitioner, specialising in men's intimate health. Join me as I break down the barriers surrounding men's health and have candid conversations about everything you've always wanted to know, but were too embarrassed to ask. This podcast is dedicated to stories from men who have bravely recognised the importance of sharing their experiences, breaking down stigmas, and having no filter chats about sexual health, cancer treatment and recovery, relationships, and everything else in between. If you know someone who you think would benefit from this information, please share so we can help more people. We would also love it if you'd follow the podcast and give us a review. Welcome to the Penis Project podcast. Today I have Jenny and Peter, and I'm very excited because we're going to talk about penile implants, which we haven't done for a really long time, like 2.5 years, I think. So this is a really lovely story. Peter had his prostate out in 2022 in October, and it didn't look like erectile function was coming back, and we tried a few other things, which we're going to talk about, and he ended up deciding that an implant was the way to go. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So Peter, tell us your story about not the whole prostate journey, but just getting diagnosed and how you felt about losing your sexual function. And also, how old are you?
Well, I'm 74 now.
Yeah.
And was 72 when I had the surgery.
Yep.
How did I feel about it? I felt pretty awful, actually. I felt quite sad, I suppose, in the fact that that the function was not working, and the options that we were trying were not working either.
So just before the surgery, you were like really well functioning, weren't you? Everything worked perfectly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you were still having a really regular sex life, two of you. Yeah.
We had sex the day of the prostate surgery.
I know, I love that story. So tell us about that. You thought you'd just get your last one away, didn't
at,
you?
At about 5:30 in the morning.
And what time did you go to the hospital?
6.
I wonder if there were like little swimmers in there when they were trying to stick the tube down. And because you've had a really active life, both of you, so you're still were doing like triathlons and things, weren't you? What were you doing?
Yeah, triathlons for nearly 30 years, yeah.
Yeah. And so then, so everything, like, you know, you've actually been really fit and healthy for a 72-year-old still.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
And really active. So this was a bit of a shock, wasn't it? And had you ever had any other illnesses, really?
No.
No. Okay. And then what did you think, Jenny, when Peter got diagnosed?
I just thought it's, you know, he has to have the surgery. It's his decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's his choice, and that's just the way it is, you know. Better than being dead.
Yeah. So. And were you worried though? Like was the impotence, potential impotence, something concerning for you?
No, not really, because we were told that he still had like about 70% chance of erectile tissue, but it did go over the margins, so he had to cut out quite a bit. So I suppose we thought that it would work, but it didn't. So was just trial and error, lots of trial and error to see how it went.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you know, I want to have the implant. So I just thought, look, I don't think you should have any surgery you don't need. But we talked to you, we talked to the original surgeon, and then we talked to the surgeon who did the penile implant. And I felt a lot more, felt a lot happier and more confident that, you know, the surgery was very straightforward, very few complications. He's got a really good pain tolerance. He had no pain relief after the prostatectomy and the same after the penile implant, which is really unusual.
It is really,
really unusual. Yeah. So his recovery is very good and he's fit and healthy. So it makes a huge difference, I think.
So, Peter, let's just talk about the other things we tried. So we used a pump to keep your penis healthy, yep. which we'd need to do anyway if you're having an implant or not. And we did try injections and they just weren't for you, were they?
They were horrible. And then we had the vascular leakage.
Yes, exactly.
And of course, prior to discovering that, we'd already decided to have the surgery.
Mm.
But when I first discovered the surgery, I was absolutely horrified by the thought of having it, it just frightened the hell out of me. And why would anyone do that? But then when you think about the alternative,
which is not have sex.
No. Why wouldn't you do it?
I remember you telling me there was a number of days. So you'd had it the day of the surgery. How many days was it between when you had a decent time in the bedroom again?
449.
days
between orgasms.
I loved the fact that you asked that. And so, you know, you can have an orgasm without an erection, but that didn't really work for you either, did it?
No.
You were so used to having a proper hard penis, I think, that you just couldn't get your head around it but working without it. Yeah. And what did you think the first time I showed you that like pile of plastic they were going to stick inside?
I was a bit apprehensive, I suppose. But then again, you think, well, why wouldn't you do it? So any negative thoughts were gone.
And how old was your mum when she died? She was in her 90s?
94.
So you were like 72 thinking, God, I've got another 20 years of being able to do it. I got to use it.
Absolutely.
And so I can't remember. Did I get you to speak to anyone who'd had it done before?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And was that helpful?
Yes. Yeah. He probably had a better success rate than me post surgery. I was quite clumsy and couldn't come to terms with the operating of the
pump.
Of the pump. I seemed to lack a bit of dexterity.
We'll talk about that in a bit more detail. So you decided to have the surgery and then you went off, had it, because your PSA is great, so the cancer's gone. And then I remember telling you that, oh, it's really painful. A lot of guys really don't like me for suggesting it for the first few weeks, and then you'll love it after.
Yep.
But your experience was a different. So you had the surgery and then what happened?
I had minimal swelling, minimal bruising and no pain.
At all, like nothing?
At all.
Wow.
I didn't take a painkiller.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then was it a frustrating wait until you could like pump it up and use it?
It was frustrating not knowing what to do.
Yeah. And how long did you have to wait before you could activate it, like get it to work?
Probably I could have worked it after 6 weeks if I knew how to do it properly.
So you went back and they did show you how to do it, but you were struggling.
Yeah, I was really struggling, yeah.
Yeah, but Jenny, you could work it straight away.
Yeah, I could. But I didn't want to do it because I felt that he has to know his own body and he has to do it himself. And it's a bit of a dampener because it ends up being, feels very mechanical then, like it's, to some degree, it takes away your sexual urge. I mean, I have done it and it's been fine. We've had sex. But I think, look, he has to really, everyone needs to know their body.
Yeah.
And they need to be able to know it properly. And then, and he said, oh, you're much better at this. And I went, yeah, but that's not the point.
Mm. Well, I think, particularly because you're a nurse.
Yeah.
And I always say to men, particularly who have wives who are nurses or have been nurses, that I think it's important that you don't get them to do like injections for you or pump up your implant or whatever, because when any health professional is taught never to find a patient attractive, like that's just ingrained in
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And then you suddenly become the nurse to your partner. They're not a sexual being anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's even more, it's easy to go, oh, my wife's a nurse, she can do it. But I think it's even more important that if your wife's a nurse or some health professional that you don't get them to be your carer.
Yeah. I think it takes away some of the intimacy of the sex.
Mm.
You know, like you've done this and now it feels like it's a medical procedure. And it's not supposed to be a medical procedure.
No.
It's supposed to be an intimate sexual relationship, you know.
Exactly.
Bonding.
It's supposed to be something completely different. And so how many days was it? It was 447 days.
449.
And how did it feel the first time you did it for you, Peter?
I felt like I was 17 because I only lasted about 30 seconds.
So you had an orgasm with a bang.
Absolutely.
And I said to him, is that it? And he went, I think so.
But the advantage is it doesn't go down after.
Correct, yeah.
So you could still do it.
Yeah.
We could, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He did say the other day, well, I'm still hard. I could go again. I went, I don't think so.
Yeah, he could still be hard for 5 hours. That could be exhausting for you, Jenny. And And what was it like? Like, was it like using a completely different thing? Like, I'm sure that, I mean, I don't have a penis, but I'm assuming you get used to how it works and suddenly you've got a new one. It's like getting a new car. Was it different to drive?
Yeah. I felt quite clumsy, a little bit nervous too, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But I think practice is important and we need to practice a lot more.
Oh, I think so too. I think you should practice every day.
He'd be very happy.
Yeah.
But it took me probably, I think I had the surgery towards the end of November. So it probably took me all of 10 to 12 weeks to really understand the process, how it worked, to even find the button in your body. I thought it'd be so easy. You just go and press the button and bang. But it's a bit harder than that. And to actually find it, to locate it, to hold it, to activate it, and then to activate it properly, that was a challenge for me. And from what I gather, there's been other people who've done it a lot more efficiently and a bit better, but I struggled a bit for whatever reason, I don't know.
Well, I think, because remember you came in and I was trying to figure out how to teach you how to do it a bit better, so I came up with this on-the-spot design of sticking a pretend one inside a rubber glove with a bit of gauze around it so it felt like testicles with it in, and that made it easier, didn't it? But yeah. When it was in your testicles, it was a slippery little sucker.
Absolutely. It's just moving. And what I do though to refresh me is I take the gadget out and I look at it.
You mean not the one inside?
No, the demo.
The
model.
Just to get a feel for where it is.
Mm.
And so to actually feel the gadget inside your body, and you can determine, I think I found it, yes, I've got it. You press it and press it again. And I think every day it gets a bit more efficient.
Yeah. And do you feel as though... It's kind of a catch-22, isn't it? Because the fact that it's difficult to find the pump is kind of a good thing, because it means it's not really obvious that you've got it in there, you know, but it's just getting to learn your own body.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And is it annoying, like in your pants? Like,
no.
You don't even know it's there?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Great. And do you ride a bike? You do?
I do. I haven't been on it since I've had it, but I wouldn't think it's a problem.
Yeah. Okay. And if you had a split seat, it wouldn't be a problem.
I could have a girl seat.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually. I met a man last week, it's a bit of a funny story, who's had one in for quite some time, and he's got a little bit of short-term memory loss now. And he came in because when he got there, he was like, I actually can't remember why I booked in. And I was like, oh, well, we better try and figure it out, because I didn't have a referral. He'd referred himself and he'd waited for an appointment for a month, so he couldn't. And then after a bit of chatting, I still couldn't figure it out. I said, well, how about you just show me your penis and we might figure it out. Opened his pants and out it popped, fully pumped up.
Oh,
no. And I was like, I think he goes, oh, that's right. I can't remember how to let it down.
Oh, wow.
He'd had it for a long, long time. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe it's not working. Anyway, it was working perfectly. He'd just literally, short-term memory, forgotten how to let it down.
Yeah.
But he said, I haven't actually used it for a while because, you know,
he's
got a lot older. And he said, I don't know why it's up. And then it turns out he still rides a bike a lot. And I said, I think when you're on your bike, you've been pumping it up and then you're forgetting to let it down when you get off after a bit of a chat. And he was like, oh, it's a good point. So we made up a sign for him to stick where he hangs his bike. Don't forget to let your penis down when you get home. So when he goes bike riding now, I said, here you go. This is easy. I'll just make you a sign so you don't forget. Hang that on your bike hanger. And then when you get home, you can park your bike and go, oh, better delete it. But be careful before you go into the coffee shop with your lycra on.
Absolutely. So I did say to you that when you were having problems letting your penis down is that I'd say to him, no, I don't think that's completely deflated, you know, whereas now you're a lot better at it, aren't you? Yep. You're like, I said to him, he goes, oh, look, see, it's floppy now. Whereas before I'd say, no, that just doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't look right. And he goes, no, I'm sure I've got it down. I said, oh, no, I don't think so. He said, well, I've pressed the button. I said, well, did you hear it go?
Yeah, you can really feel it.
Yeah.
And the other thing you can do is actually put your hand around the shaft at the same time as you let it down, and it just like deflates it a bit quicker.
Yeah. But now he can do it a lot yeah. better.
Yeah. I mean, I've got another patient who's got one, and he said he like does a lot of swimming in his budgie smugglers. So he just gives it a couple of pumps when he puts his budgie smugglers on, so it looks like he's got like a really big one when he's swimming.
Wow, gross.
I think it's hilarious.
No, not many women want to see that.
He goes, I've always been a grower, but now I'm kind of a semi-shower. Pretty funny.
Beautiful.
So we don't want to see you, Peter, with your budgie smugglers on and half up.
Absolutely.
I've actually got a potato down there.
Potato. So do you feel confident using it now?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Because it hasn't been long. It's only been, what, 10 weeks or 11 weeks now?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And I think the penny has dropped in the last probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think also too we probably expected when it happened that it would all just click straight away because you were talking to that guy and he was having sex within 6 weeks, and then we talked to the sexual health nurse and she said, oh, you know, some people start having sex at 4 weeks. So I think – and some start at six. So I think you have an expectation that it's going to all just drop automatically and it's going to just be fantastic. Not fantastic, but it's all going to work.
Easily,
and you're not going to have any times of readjustment, but that's not the reality.
Well, I think it's a bit like breastfeeding, isn't it? You're pregnant and you think, oh, this baby's just going to know what to do and so am I. Well, that's the biggest lie every woman thinks. It's absolutely. So hard to feed the bloody thing and it's not innate, and I think it's the same.
No, and this is not an innate ability. It's not as if it's something that's come with nature. It's something that you have to learn.
And I find this with injections as well as with implants. I feel as though the guys that are a bit more, oh, she'll be right, slap happy, these things come easier than the men who are a bit more academic and think about things and read instructions. Like that is also, it's also more difficult when you think about it a bit much.
Yeah. Though you're not good on instructions anyway.
No.
It reads the instructions and I say, well, it's quite simple. You know, you do this. Oh, I can't see that. I'm like, no, obviously not.
So when you have sex now, like tell us, we were talking about a little bit before I turned the recorder on, like what have you found that you need to use different positions? You were saying you're going to write the Kama Sutra for implants.
Yes, I am.
So tell us about this.
Well, I think the first few times that we had sex, I really hadn't inflated the device properly.
Yeah.
So we might have been at 70 to 75% capacity. That made penetration a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And
or softer. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, softer.
And to actually stay inside was harder. It certainly didn't affect the desire. I think that was there.
Mm-hmm.
But the performance was a bit more difficult. But eventually the penny has dropped that you keep pumping until you can't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you are feeling any pain, then deflate it and then start again.
Yeah.
And try and find that ground again. But certainly I don't think there's any position that you cannot achieve if you're using the device correctly and pumping it up properly.
Yeah.
To which I wasn't doing.
Yeah. But now that you are. And what about for you, Jenny? Do you find it feels the same?
It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel worse and it doesn't feel better.
Mm.
But it's different. It's different because the end of the tip of the penis is not as hard. Well, we've had some laughs along the way. It's been quite funny. Trying different positions to see what works and what doesn't. That's no difference to having sex.
Normally,
that's what you probably do anyway. So, so it's still pleasurable.
Yeah,
yeah. Still managed to have an orgasm. That's the
main thing.
The object.
Now, that's what you were telling me before. You read an article in Medscape yesterday. Tell me about that. Orgasms and older people.
Yeah, I read in Medscape that clinicians are reluctant to ask women if they've had orgasms when they're over the age of 60, and they just assume that they don't have sex, whereas they said there's a high majority of women that still have sex.
And that it's good for your health and it's good for all your hormone levels, much better for dementia. So he said, good, well then, you know, that's a good reason we should be having sex to decrease your dementia.
Dementia risk profile. Yeah. So instead of a sherry at night, orgasms are on.
That's right. So I thought it was a great article, and I don't think you should assume because you're over a certain age that you don't have sex, and that you know, there are all varying degrees of sex and how you have sex. So it might not be penetrating sex, but it might be, you know, still pleasurable and still have an orgasm for both of you or whatever, you know, and so that you know, you should still keep doing it, and people should still keep asking because they just assume that you're no longer a sexual being, and of course they want to shut their ears. They don't want to hear the old people
have
having
sex. I know,
but they're going to be old one day too, which is something they don't realize.
And I think the other thing is what you don't realize, and I certainly didn't when I was a younger woman, realize that doesn't matter how many years go past, you actually still feel like the 18-year-old.
Yeah.
It's just you're not in the 18-year-old body anymore.
Yeah. I can remember my dad saying to me when he was 68, he said, you know, I still feel 27 on the inside, but when I walk past the mirror, I see this old guy, and I thought, what's wrong with him? He's insane. And now, of course, I know the feeling because on the inside you still feel young. And we're both really fit and healthy, so I think that makes a big difference. As well. And so, but you know, you see that there's this older body out there, and people judge you by your age. They're very ageist, and so they just make lots of assumptions about your sexuality and your ability, you know, to do lots of things. So and definitely sex is one of those big barriers that everyone wants to shut their ears to.
Yeah, I agree. They do. Everyone wants to pretend they're not doing it, even though everyone wants to be doing it.
Or saying they are doing it when they're not doing it.
They're not doing it. Yeah, it's usually the people who talk about it the most aren't doing it, and the people who don't talk about it are the only ones getting it. Yeah.
And we've always had a good sex life, and I think, you know, we have a really good communication as well. We're, you know, best friends, and we can talk about anything and everything. So this is just something that, you know, we talk about, well, don't talk about in conversation, but, you know, at the time.
It's interesting, this guy that I saw last week as well, that it was pumped up and he couldn't remember why. And I said to him, because he had a very good long-term memory, sharp as a tack when it came to that. And I said, does anyone in your family know you've got it? And he goes, oh, no, I haven't told any of the kids, because his wife's his age too. And I said, I really think you need to tell one of your sons.
Oh, God, our kids would die a thousand deaths.
But it made me think, because of the short-term kind of memory loss, I thought, you know, if he ends up in hospital one day with, you know, he was early 90s, I think, late 80s, early 90s. And if he ends up in hospital one day with something, like, somebody needs to know, really, to tell them, you know. Like,
but why do they need to know?
Well, I'm just thinking, what if they, like, got undressed him because he's had something and he needs to put a catheter in or something, and the nurse goes, Jesus, what's going on here? He's got a pumped up penis, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You wouldn't, it's the kind of something that needs to be on your medical record.
Don't think there's anything you should put on your Medi Alert.
No, you don't probably want it on your bracelet or something. But, yeah, it just made me think, oh, maybe you should actually talk to one of your sons once you get to that point that you're not going to be able to tell them yourself or your wife can't tell them. Or,
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was quite an entertaining consult that we had together. We both laughed. He was like, I can't believe I forgot until I looked at it. He goes, every morning I'll be looking at it going, Jesus, that's right. I've got to get that down. So, Peter, would you do it again?
Absolutely. I look at life in the hourglass things, so I can see the sand flying through the hourglass, and there's more in the bottom part than there is in the top. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't you do it? I think when I spoke to the surgeon the very first time, he said to me, why do you want me to have the operation? And I said to him, you're asking the wrong question. You should be asking it, why wouldn't you want to do it?
Yeah.
And because we're not here in a practice run, this is it. There's only one go at it, and why wouldn't you do it?
I mean, it's really important to both of you for your relationship, and it's good for your health, and it's good for all those things. So, you know, I suppose the only reason you wouldn't do it is if you had some undue risk that other people wouldn't have.
Yeah,
Correct,
yeah. Yeah, there's no risk factors for him. Might be if you had very bad health or you had some other health condition, but we're both fit and healthy. And you don't know how long you're going to live. So you might as well enjoy life as much as you can, and that's part of it.
And I think you would have been quite depressed if you had never have got your sexual function back. Do you think so, Peter?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah. Like that is a really
probably
important
part.
Probably
a lot quieter.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you became a lot quieter when you got prostate cancer. Yeah, definitely.
Is that because you felt like your manhood was
worried
threatened?
About dying?
No, I think you question your own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought when I was doing the Ironman triathlon, I thought I was Superman.
Yeah.
And then,
invincible.
You couldn't kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am.
Prostate cancer was your kryptonite.
Absolutely.
Mm.
But would I have it again? Without a doubt. I tried to rush the surgery through as quickly as we could.
Yeah.
I think ideally the medical team wanted to wait 2 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to wait 2 years. And because there was always the chance that possibly the natural function may come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, well, it probably won't come back. And if I wait, then I've just wasted another year.
Yeah, there's another 365 on top of that 449.
Absolutely.
I didn't realise you were counting the days.
I was so impressed when he'd counted the days. I was like,
oh, I'm sure he did. But he never told me.
I thought it was brilliant. I was like, so good.
Well, yes. I mean, it's understandable knowing him.
So was there anything you wish you knew before that you would like anyone who's considering it to know now?
Quite obviously, I had a very, very easy time in the surgery and after, but that may not be the case with all people. But I think the benefits certainly outweigh any short-term discomfort. Mm. I think if I went through the process again, I think I would probably try and be a bit more diligent post-surgery than what it was. I think I've kind of wasted a bit of time.
Not much. It's still only 11 weeks.
But, seems like a long time, yeah, though, doesn't it?
But the fact that I'm now really confident in using the device and using it properly, And I think that comes after the surgery in November. I probably could have got things organised a bit better beforehand, but I just couldn't get myself to use the device correctly. I was fumbling and...
Now you just need to get two in a day for a while just to make up for those days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, that's your homework.
Oh, you'll hate it.
And what about you, Jenny? Is there anything you wish you knew that you didn't know before?
No, I don't think so. I think I knew quite a bit anyway because of my background. I think probably I just assumed that it would all just work perfectly after the surgery, and that he wouldn't have any problems with the pump and,
yeah,
you know, and all of that sort of stuff. But I probably should have realised, because he's not a mechanical person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a difference. And I think a lot of men don't actually explore their own. They might explore their penis, but they don't really explore
their own bodies.
Their own bodies. And they're not used to, you know, probably feeling their scrotum and, you know, working out the anatomy. So I think I thought, oh, you know, well, it took a lot longer than I thought it would.
Yeah, you thought he'd just press the button.
Yeah, I thought he'd just press the button, because when we went to see the sexual health nurse, both she and I were going, well, look, you know, it's quite easy. This is what you do, whatever. And I said, right, you're right now. And he goes, yeah, yeah. But it still took a while. So yeah. I think I was surprised because we got the impression, especially from the guy that spoke to Pierre, that it was like instantaneous.
And, yeah, and I think that's your personality as well. It's like, you know, some people will get a colostomy bag and it'll be a walk in the park to deal with that, and others it'll take them a long time.
Yeah.
It's just what sort of dexterity and confidence
you have. Yeah, I think it's a dexterity. Sort of
For me, you know, if you showed me an Excel spreadsheet, I'm never going to get my head around it, but show me a penis pump, I can do it in a flash.
Yeah.
Like, and for you, it's, I'm sure it's quite the opposite, Peter. Yeah, give you an Excel spreadsheet and you're all over it.
Yeah.
So I just think if I had to say anything to someone, that it, you know, it'll just take a little bit of time.
Mm, have not a bit everybody, of patience.
Yeah. And not everybody will get it, like, you know, 6 weeks, you turn the pump on and wham, it works.
Mm.
Because it didn't for us.
Yeah, so. And it wasn't that it was broken, it was just being able to figure it out.
Yeah.
They are apparently trying to do one where it's got a thing, an app on your mobile phone.
Yeah. How fantastic. That's what I said to him.
Well, I think the idea is fantastic, but like imagine if someone hacked your mobile phone, you know, and you're in a meeting and you're trying to present something and your penis is going zoop, zoop, zoop,
zoop. But I actually said that to him. Wouldn't it be great if you could have an app on your phone, or you could have a device where you don't have to do anything.
You remote control it.
And you remote control it. Because I said, everything else is remote controlled, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is definitely in the pipeline. Mm. I just don't know if I'd be up for it because someone might hack it.
Count me in.
I'm just like.
I wonder if it helped the spontaneity though. You know, like rather than all that fiddling beforehand and, you know.
Maybe, but your partner could download the app too and you could, instead of actually saying, hey, how about it, you could just activate it.
And you go, hello, we're on.
Or you may need to charge your phone.
Yeah, imagine that. Oh, crap, we can't do it now. I got a plug. I can't find the charger.
I was going to say, you could have both, though, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could have both.
You could have remote control, or just like the TV, you press the button.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, our young adults, whenever they come home to visit for a weekend, the charger's all in the house, miss. Imagine that. Really want to do it, but you can't because your idiot growing up child's pinched your charger.
You make sure you've always got a spare.
Yeah, because it happens to fit the same dog charger code.
But it's a good idea because I did say to him, wouldn't it be great if they had an app for this, or, you know, like you had a device that you either do it yourself, or I said, you know, it's remote control somehow, like from an app from a phone. I said it would make life so much easier I think it would help your spontaneity as well.
Mm. You guys will become more and more spontaneous. Your spontaneity will improve as you get better and better at the pump.
Absolutely.
And also that little device bit that you pump it up, it's quite hard at the beginning, but that softens up with use. So the more you use it, the easier it's going to get.
Fantastic.
I think that's the other thing too is that, you know, like when we went to the sexual health nurse to try and perfect the technique, I worried that, you know, you're pressing that button down the bottom so hard. I think, surely that must hurt your scrotum.
Mm.
But he said, no, it doesn't. I said, but, you know, like you feel like you're putting so much pressure on it. And, of course, I'm not as strong in the hands either. That's the other thing. So you worry that, you know, I said to him, does that hurt? And he goes, no. And I went,
Yeah, you're not. But it does feel like that. And as I say, that little button becomes softer and softer as time goes on and easier.
Good to know.
It's like, you know, you want the penis hard, but you want the pump soft.
Yeah.
And what about the healing of the wound? Like you only had a really small wound, and how did that heal?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
Brilliantly. Virtually no bruising.
Yeah, and you can't see as much of a scar there now, can you?
No.
I couldn't see one when we looked.
No.
Yeah. That's so good. Thank you so much. And also you guys have been great. You met with another couple who are considering getting one, and they were like, oh, no, we're definitely not doing that. And then I was like, just meet with them. They've booked in, I think, now.
I have.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So that's good. Because I think nothing. It doesn't matter how much someone like me says it's a great idea. There's nothing like the lived experience to know.
And I think it's great because he's in his 80, isn't he?
Mm. And yeah, I think early 80s.
And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's great. And
just
I mean,
like I said, you know, people just assume you don't have sex.
Mm. And him and his wife are fit and well and really sexually active. And they're like, I'm like, why not? Even if you get another 10 years out, if you get 5 years out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And or even 1 year out of it.
Exactly. Or even one orgasm, really.
I think I'd like more than one.
All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me.
Our pleasure. No
problem. Thank you. Okay.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As a thank you for being a part of our podcast community, I have an exclusive subscriber offer for you. If you would like assistance with your sexual health and you'd like to work with me, then please head over to www.melissahadleybarrett.com/programs and use the code TPP5 at the checkout. Here you will find everything you need to know to be on the path to penile perfection. Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Penis Project. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you could leave a review and subscribe for regular updates. Your support plays a big role in spreading awareness and helping more men to access this information. The more followers we have, the more podcast platforms that recommend our show to others. This might be just the place where your friend, brother, neighbour with lingering questions finally discovers the answers. Stay connected with me on social media and join the Melissa Hadley Barrett email list for news about upcoming podcast episodes, blogs, and lots more. If you have a personal story that you'd like to share or you're a health professional working in this field, I would love to hear from you. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast or a listener with specific topics you'd like us to cover, please send me an email at admin@melissahadleybarrett.com. Thanks again for being a part of the Penis Project podcast community, and until next time, take care.